Bill Bender. He covers college football for the Sporting News. And, Bill, before I get into any college football, I saw your Shane Bieber is filthy tweet last night. We like that here in Cleveland.
And he's just fun to watch. You know, my son's a young pitcher at the youth level, and I just said, just watch this guy, and you'll be all right. I mean, mixing up the pitches, looking unhittable. 27 Ks in two starts, man. That's unbelievable.
Not bad. Not bad. Hey, let me start here, Bill, as far as the college football scene. We're hearing a lot of, you know, the chancellors and the presidents are the ones making the decisions on the season, and that I'm not saying that the athletic directors and even to a lesser degree the coaches aren't being talked to at all, but is everybody happy, ADs and head coaches, is everybody happy with the process and the conversations that are leading to the decisions for different conferences, do you believe?
I think they're all over the place. You know, you think you'd get the five conferences on the same page, and you're seeing, you know, three consecutive days. Now with the Pac-12 looking like they're going to announce their schedule here within the hour, which means I got to go back to the computer instead of the yard work. But that's fine. But, you know, whether it's August 29th or September 19th or September 26th, and the reports about the Big Ten, not sure what they're going to do. It is a little all over the place and hard to figure out, and shows a little bit of disjointedness that the sport really can't afford right now.
What do you make of the ACC? Let's start there for a minute. You know, they're going to go to a 10-game conference schedule, probably have one non-conference game, and then adding Notre Dame, which is, you know, something a lot of people have wanted for a long time. I think it makes a lot of sense from a financial standpoint, especially splitting the NBC revenue with the conference. Is that a good plan, what ACC has done?
I mean, aside from the plus one, which is, you would have thought that the SEC would have been on the same page with them so they could have preserved games like Kentucky, Louisville, Florida, Florida State, South Carolina, mm-hmm. Clemson. I know from my time down there, that one's pretty important.
Yep.
And they're not playing those games. So, but bringing Notre Dame in, I love it. I love it on a one-year deal because we all get to see it. You got to wonder, and I know a lot of Notre Dame fans, being a Catholic school kid, that some of them are telling me, guys, that they want them to win the conference and then leave and just say that conference thing isn't for us. But that's that Notre Dame arrogance we all love so much, right?
Right, right. And what about the conference? Just the logistics of it. Sorry, you know, in terms of, hey, you're playing over 13 weeks. You have your flexibility on the conference championship game. I think a lot of that makes sense. I guess, you know, a lot of the schools probably will adopt that. We'll have Pac-12 here in about 40 minutes or so. I'm curious to see their plan as well.
Yeah, and you know, I think they're all going to kind of mirror each other. I do think that the Pac-12, SEC, and Big Ten are at least somewhat on the same wavelength. I think the Big Ten made that clear when they were the first to go conference only. But that's the way to go in the current environment we're in. I don't see any other way. You know, I know we all love our Big Ten football, and I think having 10 conference games will be great. Now, obviously, there's some hitches to that. I mean, Rutgers and Michigan State, for example, their teams are still in quarantine. So I do like the late September, early October start if we can get it, and then we kind of go from there.
He's Bill Bender, covering college football for the Sporting News, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bill, as far as the, and I know we got to take this one day at a time, and let's get the schedules out first, but let's look into the crystal ball a bit in terms of the postseason. Would this season make more sense than any other season to test out or to have an 8-team playoff? And how do you think that it works in the end if we're able to, you know, get some football in and play these conference schedules?
I think you stick with the four. And we're going to have to use the eyeball test, and somebody's going to leave home unhappy, and that's the way it is. I think it lends itself to, it's going to be very difficult for two-team conference to get in. So we're going to do the musical chairs game with four chairs and five people trying to squeeze into them. And that's fine. I mean, I just think going to an 18 model when we're almost going less games offshoot and then go from there. And I think we can figure out who those four best teams are. Here's a hint. They're probably the same four they usually are. Something like Clemson, Alabama, you know, Ohio State, Oklahoma, or Georgia. I mean, does that sound about right to you guys?
It sounds about right. I do agree with you. I think it's going to be tough for two teams from the same conference. I'm probably guessing there's just going to be one Power 5 conference champ left out. That's my guess at this point, but who knows? It's going to be so difficult, you know, for teams to go through a 10-game conference schedule undefeated. You know, we're so used to these teams getting these cupcakes early or an FCS school at the end of the season like Alabama typically does, or they do in the SEC, right? And then of course, it's easy to go 12-13-0 as opposed to, man, I'd be shocked if a team goes 10-0. Well, not shocked, but it'll be more difficult, I should say that.
Well, I mean, and the obvious pitfall here is let's just play it out, right? Let's say that I'm not saying it'll happen, so nobody go nuts on Twitter on me here, but what if Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan all go 9-1 and all of them kind of round robin beat each other? Who we send into Indy? You know, you got to go through those tiebreakers, and we've been close with that in the 12-game schedule. I mean, you got to go back to 16 when Ohio State went with one loss and Penn State had two losses, and the reason that Penn State didn't go to the playoff was a pit loss out of conference. So there is the possibility for log jams like that. And you know what, though? I wouldn't complain because it would mean I was watching football and writing about football and arguments about which team was best, and that's what I'm best at.
Right.
Amen to Absolutely. That. Bill Bender joining us. Bill, I saw where your colleague there, Carissa Maxwell, had an article. Of course, the NCAA yesterday came out, approves the uniform change to allow social justice statements. And Carissa, one of Carissa's comments in her article was, as far as the do we still have Bill? We lost Bill. Okay. We'll hopefully get Bill back soon. Dropped out on us. Anyway, what I was getting to, Dustin, Carissa Maxwell, who is a colleague of Bill's over there at Sporting News, she said, are we going to see patches on those uniforms that say "pay me"? You know what I mean? Like, if you can put anything on there, we've got Bill Bender back from the Sporting News. Bill, you there?
I'm back.
Okay, we're back. So I was mentioning your colleague Carissa Maxwell, and that the NCAA says you can have social justice statements, you can have patches on your uniforms, and she said, "Are we going to see patches that say pay me?" I had to laugh at that, but I'm sure a lot of them would love to have that on there. What's the reality of that happening?
Yeah, and I think, I think they can use this as a vehicle to get, this has truly been some of the most unprecedented months in American history in a lot of ways, you know, between the pandemic and protest and pushing forward with some social issues that needed to be addressed. And I think giving athletes more of a voice, you saw that with the Iowa football program. Great changes that should happen there. Chuba Hubbard at Oklahoma State, I think having his voice out there. None more powerful, though, than Kylan Hill being an instrumental force in getting the state of Mississippi's flag changed, which I think was awesome, an awesome thing that he did. So for allowing those athletes to have more of a voice, yes, but then the next natural question to that is, hey, these guys aren't paid. And, you know, where do we go from there? And I'm sure that's something that's bound to come up along the way.
Hey, Bill, can I ask you quickly, you mentioned Iowa, and, you know, that investigation is completed, I believe, and it basically came out, you know, you had some bullying, you had some racial injustice in there, and Chris Doyle's already gone as the longtime strength coach for Kirk Ferentz. Do you feel like Kirk Ferentz's job is in danger following this investigation? Has he built up enough goodwill? You know, he still remains. I mean, we're talking about one of the longest tenured FBS coach, I think, in the country. So where does Kirk Ferentz's future stand with Iowa?
Yeah, I think it's something to keep an eye on. You know, they'll be monitored closely. I mean, one of the things, I mean, on the field, and, you know, I'm an Ohio kid, and, you know, Dustin knows this from playing them. It's a long-running joke in our threads with my buddies. When it's third down, I always text my buddies. I was like, wonder if Iowa's throwing to the tight end. Because they've been doing that for 40 years, right? And they've been doing things a lot of the same ways for 40 years on the field. And now I think the wake-up call is maybe you need to do some things off the field a little bit differently and adapt to the times. And, you know, Kirk Ferentz, my dealings with him, I think he's a class coach, does a good job of sending guys to the next level when they're ready to play. But clearly there were some things behind closed doors that weren't right, and it's on him to address those. And I guess that's the simplest way that program can evolve and they should evolve in the times that we're at. And I mean, there's plenty of programs on that side of the conference. You know, Northwestern, Wisconsin, they've evolved over the years. Maybe it's Iowa's turn.
Bill, we've had some opt-outs with college football players, or one, at least for sure, one high-profile cornerback from Virginia Tech. Do you think we'll see more?
Yeah, we will. And the NFL, I think we're going to see a lot more. And it's a tough situation. I mean, you look at Caleb Farley, the Virginia Tech corner. I mean, he's the best player on their defense, one of the best corners in the ACC. And for me, I mean, it comes down to we were so hyper-focused, myself included, on this idea of who would not play if they play in the spring. And now it's, well, who's not going to play now if they're not? And again, it comes down to the organization to me. I mean, some of these parents, if we're talking about it on the radio, that we're not sure what's going on and this organization isn't great, what do you think the parents of these student-athletes are thinking? You know, and I think that's something that you got to consider from family to family, and you can't blame anybody for opting out.
Well, and to that end, Bill, I mean, don't you think a lot of these universities, I mean, from chancellors, presidents, to ADs, on down to head coaches, don't you think all these universities, they have to fear, to some degree, litigation? That, you know, I mean, this isn't like, you know, NFL players. These kids are basically under their watchful eye. So, I mean, are a lot of these institutions fearing retaliation if something were to happen, unfortunately, with COVID-19?
Absolutely. And all it takes is one student athlete on a ventilator for us to get there. And that is obviously the worst case scenario. But you're dealing with a sport that doesn't have an injury report. I mean, and that's the thing. And, you know, from institution to institution, sometimes coaches get questioned on injuries and they're not real forthright about it. So I think that's the biggest thing here, is that you're dealing with a pandemic that has killed, I apologize, I haven't checked the numbers this week as much. I know it's over 150,000 people have died. That's very serious. And all it takes is one student athlete to reach a critical stage. And yeah, the litigation would be there. The sport would probably be shut down. And it is a very risky endeavor, even with a demographic of young, you know, I guess the word of the year is asymptomatic. But I mean, I keep telling people all it takes is one.
Right. Well, hopefully we don't have the one, and hopefully we can push on, or press on, I should say. What's your gut tell you? Do we get a season started? Does it stop? Do we finish it? Where are you at? You somewhere in between?
I hope baseball gets through, and it's looking pretty messy. Other than Bieber, baseball is pretty messy right now with the cancellations. I mean, it was really cool to sit down and watch him pitch last night, like I said, but I worry that they might not get through. I think college has got to watch the NFL for a couple weeks, see how training camp goes with the professionals, and make their call from there. If we can get it in late September, early October, and get rolling, I'd be the happiest person on earth. And no, there's this notion on Twitter between, you know, radio hosts like you guys and sports writers like me, we all want the season to happen. Let me make that very clear, because our livelihoods, it might depend on that in some ways too.
Right.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I don't know where that started. I mean, just because we're talking about possibilities, you're writing about realistic possibilities, certainly doesn't mean at all that we're saying, oh, we hope there's no season. Why would anybody want that? That makes sense for nobody out there, right?
No, and then it trickles down to schools and OHSAA football. This is a state that I'm proud to have grown up in and had a chance to play high school football, and I want nothing more to go out and watch some high school football down here in Pickerington on a Friday night, like everybody else, like you guys up there do. And hopefully we get there, but it has to be done safely. And I've just continually looked at the numbers, and the question I always ask, and until I see it on a field, can we tackle each other and block each other and, you know, pass interference each other safely? And when you can see that done, then I'll have hope that we can have a season.
Yep, fingers crossed. Bill Bender covers college football for the Sporting News. Always a pleasure. Keep up. Talk soon, Bill. Thank you.
Hey, you guys are the best. Thanks so much for having me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.